Hello, welcome to Race Brain Podcast. My name is Rich Ryan, joined by Bracken Crocker, Jack Bauer. Today, we're going to talk about, we're going to preview DecaFit NorCal. Is it Sacramento?
Sacramento.
Lighten the
San
beam.
Jose, the first year, past 2 years have been Sacramento.
And then we're going to talk a little bit of High Rock stuff about some theoreticals in that. Is that what we're going to do? We're just going to get lost into some things that might not happen. Then I'm going to complain about CrossFit because I've complained about all these other things, and this something happened in CrossFit that affects me kind of indirectly, but a little bit directly, and it makes me want to complain about it. And I got this microphone turned on, so that's what we're going to do. BK, quick question. We were talking about basketball off air. You made a post on social media. You're putting middle schoolers in the blender, bro.
Oh, come on. That's a college kid.
Just letting them have it. That's what I guess that might just be what college kids look like to me these days. They just look like middle schoolers, how old we're getting out here.
Yeah. I couldn't post the other clips because they were either against old people or I was getting cooked.
So
there's
got to
be a point. There's going to be a point where you're like, all right, these are my highlights. That's what I've devolved to at this point.
No, we only had, that was the only time we played on this side of the gym. There were four games going, so you couldn't film the other one. So we didn't really get much footage that day.
It's a bummer.
That's tough.
Yeah.
Wasn't very good though.
What place did you end up getting? Was there like a round robin? Did
you tournament style? You had to win a game to get to the second half of the tournament.
And you couldn't win a game?
We did. We got to the second half and then we got bounced immediately.
Mm. Okay. Sounds like fun though.
It was fun. There was a wide range.
I feel like a lot of these like non-pro tournaments where you're not in high school, you're not on a team anymore, like it's just with some friends or family. I feel like if you've got endurance and you can, you know, last a little bit, as the day goes on, your team's going to do better just because most people don't have that stamina.
Yeah, this wasn't that. There was a couple AAU teams that showed up to just get work in. There were
middle school kids in there.
Okay. So no chance, basically.
Some overseas. Like there's a 6'10 and a 6'11 guy there who play overseas who are back home and their friends grab them. Like there were three tiers of competition, and the upper tier was untouchable, and the middle tier was like better than what you'd find at your local run, and then the lower tier was just like not very good at all.
Where are you falling in this pyramid?
We were dead set in the middle of the second tier.
Dead in the middle of the pyramid?
Dead in the middle, yeah.
We had someone make a comment on Instagram.
They wanted a drawing. Yep.
That was like they were like talking a different language about.
Well, they were saying it was a 3D pyramid, so you can actually have some depth to it, but we won't go down that conversation again.
But is there still more than one on the top if it's a 3D pyramid?
Never more than one.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me. Jack, we got Deca NorCal. Are you fired up?
Not just Deca NorCal. Yes, I am. But we have Deca World Championship announcement.
We just got that announcement coming through right before we started recording. Jack hit us up. We were real excited about where it was going to be. Rumors of San Diego in December. Sounds lovely. Last year was Dallas. This year, Ocala, Florida. Beautiful Central Florida. I think it's funny. When High Rock's the first, I guess like really 2021, where it's like, okay, we're going to make the Elite 15 a big deal. They did Vegas, and then Deca's like, cool, we'll do AC, like a really, like a way worse version of what you got going on. High Rocks this year, coast of France, Deca, Central Florida. It just works. They're just like, hey, how can we bounce off of what High Rocks is doing?
I can't believe they didn't choose Reno for that Vegas year.
They already have Tahoe.
Yeah, right. That's altitude, right, Reno?
Oh yeah,
it's up there.
Yeah, probably 4,000 or 5,000.
You ever stay in Reno?
It's the world's biggest little city. That's what they claim, or something. I drove through it and I was like, "This is interesting."
I loved Reno 911 when I was in college.
So it was a destination for you.
Yeah. So when we got the first chance to travel to California for a Spartan race, I made sure we flew into Reno because it was NorCal, and then stayed there before and after the race. And I was just so excited to see it all. And I just felt really let down. There's some beautiful parts of it. But
it seems like a cool location, right? Because it's close to Tahoe. Mm-hmm. It's on the Nevada side. So it's like taxes aren't as much as California, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it seems like it makes sense. I was looking at cost of like the housing market's pretty expensive there.
And oh yeah,
like
anything there, Lake Tahoe is crazy.
Yeah, I guess that's it. It's just like the draw to Tahoe, and
it's everywhere now, though.
It really is literally everywhere. It's crazy. Yeah.
Well, had I got my house when I did.
Our assessment just came up. Everything just got reassessed in our city. And from when we bought 6 months prior to COVID to now, we have completely doubled in our assessment. So everyone's losing their mind over their taxes and everything. And I'm like, come on.
Come to Colorado. See how much you like that.
No, I get it. I get it. Yeah. But yeah, that's just everywhere. That's just everywhere.
Everywhere. And we're not in a desirable area. No one's moving to Wisconsin.
I saw your wife's post the other day about running on every single street and looked like she went in a sketchy neighborhood. So maybe that'll keep the property taxes lower.
Well, there's plenty of sketchy neighborhoods, but there's also some nice pockets too.
I know.
Did she heard her first gunshots on a run?
That was what I was referring to. She said that she heard them, and then there were three other reported ones in the area at the same time that she didn't hear about, like on that run at some point. So
yeah.
What's that app called that tells you about the bad stuff that's going on?
The John Morant app? No, I'm just kidding.
I forget what it's called, but it's like Citizen. Citizen's what it's called.
Citizen?
Yeah, and it just basically tells you.
I know Nextdoor.
She uses like Crime Watcher or something.
Yeah, those things, bad for mental health, those things.
It's everywhere.
It's not.
You realize that there's bad areas, but really there's bad times.
Mm.
Like at a certain time of day, you can go just about anywhere in this city. And then the streetlights come on, and then there's certain places you don't go anymore.
That's what living in an urban area. That was what was really hard about like the winter time, like because it gets dark, and then everything feels a little bit more sketchy. So you're just like inside always.
But winter running is the safest in cities.
Oh yeah,
people aren't just hopping outside to go light it up when it's 0 degrees out.
Gotta have a reason to go out and do that.
True.
When it storms, you hit the sketchy neighborhoods and you run.
You just need to see those streets. The weekend of Deca Worlds is December 13th through the 15th. So that is a week later for the second year in a row. I believe they pushed it back.
Yes. It was November right after Thanksgiving. Atlantic City was right after Thanksgiving.
It was right before Thanksgiving.
Okay. Yeah, it was late November, you're right. It was before.
Yep.
So flights were expensive. Then first weekend of December, it's the tail end of Thanksgiving travel season. This, I think you hit that little sweet spot right before Christmas travel, because it's more than 7 days out from Christmas, where you'll probably be able to get away with an affordable flight. If I don't know how much that went into their consideration, but it's definitely a late race on the calendar.
If I had to pick,
I would ask for second week of January.
You'd start off the year with the world.
For Deca World Championships, I want second week of January. I think that to me, and it doesn't mean this is right, but just in my thinking of this sport, that is the sweet spot of the hybrid calendar. And it then allows people like a VJ or a Ryland to go all in on Spartan World Championship or Hyrox and then have time to pivot and sharpen down to a Deca, because you can sharpen down to a Deca. So I think it should be after Hyrox, but it needs to be further away so that you can do Spartan World Championships or Trifecta if you want. I don't think Spartan should poison their own well by making people choose between the two. Second week of January, lock it in.
Yeah, it's like 5-6 weeks after Spartan Worlds, about 2.5 months after Trifecta. That's not a bad point. Fortunately, they didn't have the overlap with Spartan Worlds and Deca Worlds, because last year, I think it was 7 days apart, 6 days apart.
That's overlap.
3K was a Friday. With international travel, that's essentially the same time of year, or the same weekend almost. So I'm glad that it's not the same this time.
Yep, it's an improvement. Yep. Pending when they announce what Spartan World Championships will be this year.
They had not announced that date.
I thought they said it was the last. It was the first weekend of December. So this would be like a 2 week gap.
Okay.
I thought it was like first November 30th through December 2nd or something. I saw some posts on that.
It's the same.
Yeah. So this is the same venue as the one that they're going to be having in September, also in the Orlando area. Okay.
Oh, really? I just pulled up Ocala, how to get there, because I looked it up. I was like, Ocal, I don't, I know this is a place, but I've never been
heard of it.
Where it is. It's south of Gainesville. It's 35 miles south from the Gainesville airport. It's 73 miles from Orlando airport and 87 from Tampa, 94 from Jacksonville.
Ocal is not that nice, right?
Where it's located, I think it's classic Central Florida. Like, I've been to like Gainesville area.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's right in the middle of the state, like kind of north. It doesn't seem that easy to get to. Like Gainesville airport, I'm guessing that's not an international like airport with like a hub or anything.
In all fairness, with like OCR for years, we've been like, oh, it's only 2 hours from this city.
And this
like,
ain't this OCR.
This I is know the draw of hybrid.
I
best
know
part about hybrid is that was going to be my counter
where I was going to say urban versus non-urban. Like, we're kind of spoiled at this point where it's in a city, you're expecting that.
I like that Orange County Convention Center in Orlando.
Exactly. That is a good, like, and I'm guessing this Ocala, it's at an equestrian, it's just going to have the same feel as the previous couple. Like, the one in Dallas is just like, it was like this big fairgrounds, which is like fine, and Dallas is a big city, so it's easy to get to, but like it's just like, you know, a little dumpy, like not that great. Like the PA race, I'm guessing it's gonna be like a similar venue to that. You come in, it's just like an old convention center that not a ton of stuff goes on at. There's not gonna be many bells and whistles, and this is just gonna be in the middle of Florida.
It's the difference between High Rocks and Deca. High Rocks can come in and make a venue spicy because they put on a performance in there. Deca just kind of echoes around the building.
One thing to keep in mind, and I just thought of this right now, didn't Spartan HQ move from Boston to Orlando during COVID?
Did they? I have no idea.
I thought that they relocated, or some people
seems
relocated.
Seems like a decent move. That seems like something they would do.
Keep going. Yeah, but I thought that they have some presence in Orlando at this point. So that might actually make operations a little bit smoother. They might be able to, you know, not as much cost for transportation to get everything there as opposed to going across the country. I don't know. I'm giving it a chance.
Where's WTM this year?
It's also in Florida, correct?
Florida also, yeah.
How far from this venue?
No, that's Alabama. Yeah. I think that's Panhandle where they're at.
So not too far, because I mean, this is very far south.
So is Spartan located down in Florida these days?
I'm just amazed it's not Jacksonville if we're doing all Spartan Florida.
I'd prefer it in Jacksonville. At least there's an airport.
Yeah, World's Toughest Mudder 2024, November 9th through 10th. So that is a month, 5 weeks before this. Bartow, Florida. I don't know where that is.
Me neither. But yeah,
and we're not looking it up.
I already looked it up.
Oh man, that's just south of Orlando. So we're doing like the Tour de Orlando. Basically.
Central Florida yeah. is yep. the home of OCR and hybrid.
Basically halfway between Tampa and Orlando, a little bit on the south side. That's where Bardo is for World's Toughest Mudder. So we're just going north of Orlando.
Are you going to the Ocala race, Jack? You're not sure yet, right?
In September?
Yeah.
It all depends. They haven't announced if it's going to be top 15 or top 20. I think that's going to make a major difference in who makes Worlds this year. Because
rumor is 15. I heard a rumor.
Okay. I heard a rumor that this is going to be in San Diego. So I
heard that as well.
Which rumors to believe. But if it's 15 last year, you were 14th at 31-13. You would have barely made the cut, factoring in all end of year times that people ran in Dallas and stuff. Because you were ranked. You're ranked 9th or 10th. And then Chaz Hatton, Cole Walken, a few people really ran well at the end of the year. So I'm saying that the 15th time last year was about 31-15, 31-20. So it's going to take at least that. Now you've got Grayson Kilgore coming in. You're going to see a few more people give it a shot. And I think that it's probably going to take about a sub 31. So we'll see. Do I
but
really want to
standards.
Yeah. Do I really want to go to Central Florida twice, especially the week of my birthday for that last one? Not
where
necessarily.
Where else would you want to go?
Florida is a place to celebrate a birthday. If you can't get to AC, you get to Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I've been to AC for many occasion.
I did go to Florida for Palm Beach and got engaged there on my birthday after running a deck of fits. So that was a that worked out. So it's gonna be hard. I'm saying it's gonna be a hard act to follow.
Didn't we share a
she watched that like and still said yes?
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Oh, I made world, so she's like, how can't I? Yeah.
Jersey Chaser.
Gotta lock this thing down. Yeah.
Locking it up.
Cleat grabber. Yeah. All right. So Jack, you got the DECA NorCal list there in front of you, or the participants?
Yes, I do. So not going to be as deep as we saw for Anaheim, which we just saw this past weekend. On the women's side, we've got probably Michelle Navarro's looking nice. Like the favorite. But we also have Julie Best. She made Worlds last year, really competitive. Allie Wright, she'll do well. Is Megan Jones, is she the one who had a really fast deck of strong a couple Ooh. Years ago? That name seems familiar, but Haley Brogan will be there. Amber Nelson, Jess Caviglia, who podiumed last year in Sacramento. So we've got some pretty decent talent, but compared to, you know, Lauren Weeks and Vivian and Katie Duke that we saw last week, Lauren Griffith, that it's not going to be the same depth, but I wouldn't be surprised if one or two people from this race on the women's side end up having a mark that gets them into Worlds.
So worldwide right now, just looking at the top 15, there's only been two races really in the United States. And if there's a fair amount of international names on this Elite 15, should we just move Elite 15 over to DECA? I think they'll call it something different, like
hook me Elite up with a 12 plus 3 or something.
Hook me up with a synonym of Elite BK. Break open that thesaurus.
Oh my goodness.
Thesaurus brain. But Sam Wood is 39.04 at 15 right now. So
that's
last
not
year,
hold up. No.
I think what was last year, around 36.30?
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure everybody was 36 flat, roughly plus or minus a few seconds, and made it in.
But so we'll I think see some just, athletes, like those athletes are going to be 37 flat-ish, potentially threatening to get under for the win.
Yeah.
I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, Michelle Navarro, she's made Worlds both years. Mm. Jess Caviglia, like I said, last year it was Lauren Weeks, Nicole Miracle, and Katie Duke in NorCal, or maybe Anaheim, but it was like you're not going to...
It feels like forever ago when Nicole ran a deck.
I know, doesn't it? Yeah.
How are we doing with that?
Problem this year, with Hyrox showing that times and performances, people are really leapfrogging forward. I don't care about the courses. Athletes are just better. We can't argue that. I think you're going to have to race twice in DECA this year unless you pop a Sanderson. Right. I think most people are not going to punch a ticket on their first one. They're going to have to race a second one because people are just improving so rapidly that even the 10-month difference or 6-month difference from now till race day, the fitness increases are going to prevent good times now from being good times then.
Even Rich, the world champ in 2022, like last year, got into that fast heat barely, and then his imaginary body part like disappeared. So
plantaris.
Yeah. Does your brother have any hookups with the Orlando Magic? I know that he helped you out with the Mavericks.
Is there a G League team in Ocala?
Gainesville Gremlins.
Yeah. It looks like August, September. He's just not. Fort Wayne, the Ultra in July. Yeah, because this will be the last. It looks like there's an Austin. Is Austin always in June like this? I thought that was earlier in the year.
I thought it was in May last year.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think that Austin Spartan is the same weekend as Big Bear, so the end of May, so they probably want to space it out a week or two.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
But yeah, I think that we could see a couple women from this race that... You might be right, Bracken, where the time that they run might not hold up, but the athletes themselves get into a second race later on this year. Yep. And then they're a participant at Worlds because of a faster race later in the year.
Yeah.
I might go to this Fort Wayne race and run on that Mondo. What are the newest Nike spikes called that have the pods in them?
You can't wear spikes.
Pods?
Don't they have like the AirPod, like kind of like a
those are the aggressive ones though, right? The I'm forgetting. Not the Dragonflies.
Saying I'm not aggressive?
The other ones. Saying those are like 4-8 mile spikes.
Well, you're doing laps. You're doing 500 at a time.
Yeah. That's I stand corrected.
Thank you. Spock step overs with those aggressive spikes.
Those spikes.
Easy.
Lunges. You definitely want your feet getting stuck.
On the, they put you on that like yoga mat and just be like in shreds.
Just shred it up.
It just comes up with you.
The line moves.
It's like toilet paper on your shoe. Like you take off and it just won't come off.
Put me on a Mondo track shoe.
Yeah. What are you taking?
If like legit, I don't know. I'd like to get those Cielos, not the Cielo X, the Cielo Road. RCs?
Or are they just outdated?
Of course. I mean, I beat them up so bad now. I have a fairly fresh pair. RCs could work. But maybe I might even
take something like
Rebellion.
This.
Well, those Topos?
Solomon. Come on, man.
Come on.
You think I'm going to poison my wall with foot-shaped shoes?
They got two millimeter drops.
Yeah, why would you want shoes that are shaped like your foot? That'd be a terrible idea.
Yeah. 2 millimeter drops.
I'm not trying to plod along like my ancestors. I'm trying to force my feet into a streamlined position so I can fly.
Bracken, you don't even race anymore. What do you need to fly for?
I can't argue that.
Yeah, exactly.
TBD.
All right, fine. Yeah. All right, what we got on the men's side, Jack?
All right, men's side. Isaac
Sanderson. I beat Logan Broadbent in a super, Jack.
That's true.
That's true. Outkicked him. That's why I need to fly.
Spartan, Michigan.
He still races. It's facto. I still am relevant.
True. Best number one ranking. Yep. All right, Isaac Sanderson. We just saw him drop a sub 30 in Anaheim a few weeks later. This guy's going to be dangerous this year. I think that he is... He's right in that he could challenge for a podium at World Champs, in my opinion.
For sure. I think he can grab one of these high rock spots, too.
Riker can. Why can't he at Deco World Championships?
For sure.
Yeah. Aggressive.
Riker sucks.
Because. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Cool. We've got Dustin Needham showing up. He usually ends up 33, 34. Chaz Hatton, who made Worlds last year. Didn't have the fastest showing in Anaheim, but... Never know.
He was a triple crown last year. In
correct. All three age groups. He's leveling up this year. Really good at ruck as well. Another guy I need some information on, Rich. Steven Young.
Oh, yeah.
Steve Young. Let's hear about him.
That's my main guy. We went to St. Joe's together. I think he was close to 4 flat post-collegiately in the mile. And he's always been like a stronger type of athlete. He went out to Oregon after school to kind of pursue the running thing and did it for a long time, ran some injuries here or there, but now he's found hybrid. So this is going to be his first crack at it. He's been training pretty hard for 4 months or so, and it's going to be his first go at it. So I'm excited for him. He's got superior guidance, so we should see him do...
Good name also. Steve Young usually does well.
So a 4 flat miler, how long ago?
He was born in 87, it says.
He's a year younger than I am, yeah. So, probably close to, 8 to 10 years, probably.
That's about an ass when he was.
Yeah.
Less of a body change than an ass, right?
Less than that. He's always been a beefier runner. He's a workhorse, though. Came on to St. Joe's as a walk-on, left as one of the top guys. He has, like, the work ethic to do well in this sport.
His metric What's lineup, the ceiling?
Ceiling?
Mm-hmm.
For Deca? I don't know. I think he could be under 30 for sure.
Right now or eventually?
I mean, just the race experience is going to be hard, like figuring out how to pace and seeing just how it plays out in the back half after the bike. It's hard to say, but eventually.
Nice.
Eventually. So yeah, we're excited about Steve throwing down. So he's you got him into the top heat, Jack? Is Jack just sitting there, just dead stoned? Or is he just like...
I thought he was just upset with us.
He has a very straight face often, so I think he's just kind of hanging in there.
Throws on a staff shirt and he's not here to mess around.
No. Dude,
he's out of here.
The security at High Rocks DC was the most, like... about their job that I've ever seen, like just in the convention center, like they were just really mean and really aggressive about like their job. So, and then I thought about, I was like, yeah, in DC, security is probably like a pretty competitive field of work. So you get the best security guards even at some silly Hyrux event. So they were getting yelled at for running on the course and everything.
Sorry, guys. I just had my first soil settling in a couple of years. I don't know.
Springtime.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yeah. Sense. A lot of water present, some drainage. Yeah. Who had the worst, the least, or the most lax security of any Hyrux you've been to?
I mean, I'd go with Miami because they let you get that close to Matt Frazier.
They let him get that close to me. I was in the corral. Okay.
The other way around. Yeah.
I mean, Chicago's pretty, they'll crack down. They'll check your wristband.
Yeah, they'll check.
They'll check your wristband for sure.
Orange County was pretty lax.
They had probably let all their security guards go at that point. Or just.
That was the most empty, open public building, private building I've ever seen in my life.
It's COVID-y then.
That was real COVID-y.
Yeah, we're like, were we wearing masks, like warming up and stuff? That was just so silly.
It was Florida.
Oh, silly time. Yeah, that's right. That's why we were able to do it. Jack, who else we got on this list? We got my boy, Steve. Right.
Steve Young. We've got Grady Jackson signed up, but a couple people told me he is only doing ruck. He wants to take down Jarrett Newby this year at Worlds, so he's really going all in.
Tell you what. Of all the people, of all the sports to target, I don't think I'd be targeting Jarrett Newby at weight carrying while running.
No, and it's not like some of these new sports that are like, just in general, you can like go after a world record or something like that. But that's when not that many people. I don't think there's anybody in the world who's going to be better than Jarrett at this.
Truly, the world. Yeah,
truly, like he is better than running.
Could Hunt? Could Hunter? Could Atkins? Could Gaudette? Like he could move with weight.
What is he? 6'3"?
Big 6'4"
probably.
6'4", broad shoulders.
200.
149, 148. 150.00. 150.
Saw some of those Penn Relays photos.
Yeah.
I never ran Penn. We did Drake.
At the Jersey Relays. Did you watch
any of that sophomore high schooler, the 4x4 kid, his team bombed for him.
Who's that?
Quincy Wilson.
Yeah, that like kid's 45 a sophomore
kid. Sophomore.
Are you serious?
He 16 years old.
He split a 44 something.
44.3, I think.
They actually fell down.
I know that.
Or dropped a baton.
Yeah, I think both times.
Things happened twice. Yeah.
Qualifiers and finals. And he's still
44. He runs crazy too. He's like way back.
Yeah.
Way
can you imagine that after the race? You guys got that 44 kid, right? How'd it go? Oh, I fell. What about the next race? Yeah.
Again.
Fell again.
Yeah.
It seems like FloTrack has some of the stuff on YouTube. If I were them, I would put all of it on YouTube, like maybe like a week after, just so people can catch it, you know?
They'll never do that. They want to make their money.
If I were a billionaire, I would buy FloTrack and disband them.
You think they're, you think it would cost $1 billion to buy FloTrack? No.
If I was a $100,000-aire.
I watched a video recently on basically some guy grading the value that you get from every single FloTrack broadcast. And he's like, I went every single year, fast forwarded, and this was like a months long project. And he's like, all right, I'd give this, it was 2012. Like the quality is not going to be as good, but they at least followed the people. I'll give it a 7. And every single year it's gotten worse. They have static cams for 5 hours, no commentary. Mm-hmm. They'll sometimes have someone who's just horrendous at commentary. The video, it's staring down at the floor instead of the athletes, and it's gotten worse over and over. And they only have two ways to watch stuff. It's either you pay the $12.99 a month, but it's a 12-month commitment, so you have to pay it all up front, or it's a $30 one-time purchase for a month if you don't want to do the year commitment. But it's like, say that you're a parent who just wants to see their kid out of state competing at a meet, whether it's high school or college. And then you get the shitty coverage that you're not expecting, and you just paid $30 for that. That's the issue that the guy took in it, and it was actually pretty interesting. I'll post it in the group chat.
Was it BK that did this analysis?
BK would have been
like,
proud.
Sounds like right up his alley. The
like a lot of work.
Yeah,
the
I would have to watch FloTrack to do it.
couldn't spend your time doing that. Yeah. But the coverage that they put on YouTube was actually fine. It was like good commentary, several cams. And it felt like we're watching anything, like, you know, maybe not something on NBC, but
yeah,
better than OCR.
Yep. Let me we keep getting sidetracked on this. So Grady Jackson, we just mentioned, probably doing ruck. Max Fennell, he's going to go out hard again single year. He'll be in contention until about third or fourth station. Then we'll see what happens. Jeremiah Mahan.
Nice.
Got fourth place a couple years in a row behind me. Who's going to be there? Got third place the past 2 years. Glenn Race. Mark, who just broke 31 for the second time. Mark Paulzine, who was 31 low at Wisconsin, Worlds.
Wisconsin boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Farmstrong.
And then John Howard just signed up.
Wow. So this is a good field.
Good field.
Good depth.
John's, you have yourself in the Bauer rankings, non-biased. What are you seated?
Take Grady Jackson out. I've got myself third.
Woo! Yeah.
Behind Grady, Isaac and Glenn?
I want to say I support him going Isaac after Jarrett. Glenn.
Yeah.
Someone's got to go after Jarrett. Yeah. So I support him doing it. This is me not knocking Grady, because Grady has proven that he's a worthy candidate for anything that man wants to go after.
Totally.
But I
he really is like a Swiss Army knife. He could do ultras. He can do Deca Strong. He can do high rocks without going to a gym.
Like, you meant overpriced and overrated.
I mean, that's your interpretation.
Yeah. What would you buy
first? They're coasting on a reputation that's 100 years old.
Would you buy a Swiss Army knife or a Floatrack subscription first?
I would buy 10 Swiss Army knives.
And throw them at Floatrack HQ.
Yeah.
Right now, the top 15th time is 32:43. That's John Howard.
And then, we have some
international. Gregor is on here.
Rosanico?
Yep.
And he got like sixth in his race. We have Alphons, the Spanish U, dropping a 30:50.
That's really good.
That's a fast time.
I wonder Spanish if that was a two course. I wonder if that was a two lap course. Because 30:50, we haven't seen, that's the fastest international time on the men's side that we've seen.
Yeah. Because we saw one race where several guys who were sub 60 in high rocks, they're running like a 34, and it's like, yeah, just going on. And then it turns out it's a three lap course on turf outside. And it's like, oh, okay. That makes sense why it's not the same.
For sure.
But this, I think they got it dialed in. I forget the guy's name. I think it might be Angel who's in charge of DECA overseas. Been doing a good job expanding. And like you said, there are a lot of international names on the leaderboard early in the season. We've got several local gym events that you know are going to have fast times. The guy who leads DECA Mile right now is from the UK. I forget his name. He dropped like an 18:20, 18:30 or so. But yeah, you've got some decent...
Adam Jones?
Yes, give him a shout out. But yeah, you got some decent international.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if they want to make that trip to beautiful Ocala.
It's East Coast at least. So Europe, you might actually get it, because that's going to save at least 4 extra hours flying to central part of the US, maybe prevent a layover. Could happen.
And if I'm we're giving like, it crap, venue like, doesn't matter for DECA one bit. Doesn't matter
The important thing is we are not going to have any controversy on measurements. We know Yancey's going to dial that thing in every single time. We're the people who make it for DECA Fit specifically are going to be the ones who deserve making it there because of time. DECA Strong and DECA Mile, you might have a little inconsistencies like with the ideal layouts at some local gyms.
And judging.
Using the Ryan Kent, the whatever that, the...
Ah, the Mattel brand.
The Walmart brand of skier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, nah, it was cool. It was only like, 10 seconds faster per 500. I would have broke that record anyway.
Okay. So I'm not even exaggerating. So they have two ski ergs at my new gym. And one of them is, it's called just a ski machine. That's what it's called on the side. So it's some Mattel brand. And yesterday, Rich, I was doing those like minute off on ski erg, just casually pulling
on the machine,
on the ski machine.
Ski machine.
Casually pulling
120s.
Probably 150 to 152 pace. It was saying 126. Dude,
you're a beast, man. Are you serious?
I'm like,
you're
man, peaking. I am fast now. So
you're a beast.
Watch out for me on the ski erg. Yeah.
Comes off in 120.
Yeah. I just during my warm-up, I went like 7-0 for my 2K warm-up. And I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, that checks out.
Easy, dude. You're crushing things.
Yeah.
So yeah, it should be a good fun race. OCR report on site.
We'll be doing the coverage. Yep.
Great. BK, you on the one? You on the microphone?
Oh, man.
No chance.
I think it's Xander and Luke for this one.
I'm a race dad now.
Oh, Rich with his... you weren't even, your hand was like around the, I don't get that.
That was just brain.
It said, nice, man. And it went,
nice, man.
Yeah.
your race dad, you got some karting? Do we call it karting?
That's
how
we do anymore.
Was it not karting at some point? Or is it always karting?
Karting.
Always.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just different classes and levels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's even adult karting.
You getting in on that?
Oh.
No.
Low impact.
So you're running into something. For the knees, unless you crash.
So you're running into something, yeah. How do we feel about DECA going from 20 to 15, if that's true?
I asked Yancey before this, and they're still deciding on the number of people. So this is all hype. They don't have an answer yet for number of people.
And do we know if they changed that thing with the age group, needing to run age group to qualify for age group, or can you run elite and qualify for age group? The thing that we've been bitching about for a long time.
Yeah, where if you are the 21st person and they take in top 20, are you allowed to do it? But no, you didn't run an age group specific heat during the season, so you're not allowed to.
If you or Mark Paul Zine, right? Like he's gonna run a good time that will qualify him in age group, but he's going to run elite. And say it's 15, doesn't make that 15. Can he take his time from his elite race in NorCal and race in and qualify him in the age group, which they have not been able to do in years prior?
Yeah. I think you should get a roll down. It's still the same course, consistent everywhere. You are the fastest in your age group if you want to race it. That's how I see it.
No doubt. Like that's
there's no inconsistencies.
I don't
it's
know
not
why
like,
they don't.
It's not like OCR if you had a course where the elite heat had a double sandbag and you only had a single one. So it's a different type of course.
For this sure,
is
not scary.
Every single thing is identical. You happen to be that old, you should be allowed to race in that age group if you want to.
So there's a pro card. It's seamless passing between divisions, in my opinion.
But and they already kind of fixed this on the Spartan side with the competitive wave, where it's like, hey, top three overall, you guys get that overall elite podium. Everyone else, now your age group. They already have the roll down essentially for this figured out for Spartan this year.
Yeah, I understand a lot of the complaints about age group versus pro separation if there's a pro division and if everyone's allowed into it. But if they're not, the complaint that they don't belong in my division is really just saying I characterize them as a different form of human being because they have better performance than
they're
me.
Good.
Yeah. Like, what if you get better?
Right. Do you then now have to not like in
how much
no
better than
them?
You can you get before you're not allowed to hang out with you? I don't love it.
It's just that it's a negative for the entire field, right? Because the way that DECA generally runs is the competitive elite or whatever, they're in like waves, right? They got Jack Bauer behind the scenes putting people where they belong.
Getting those seedings pretty much correct.
Yeah. And then the rest of the waves are open, right? So you're not competing necessarily against your peers. And right. It's an open field as well. So it's like different levels of competitor are running at the same time. So to me, that like hurts the age grouper. It hurts their performance because they're not with people that are around. So like,
not clustered.
I want these athletes who are going to be top 10 in their age group to have the ability to race an elite against elite field and a more advantageous course. But they don't really get to have that if they want to qualify at Worlds. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Jack, to answer your question, the 20 down to 15, I actually take the opposite stance of the Hyrox qualification, where I'm okay with it going down to 15. I think it's going to screw people over, yes, but like that's just the way it goes. Not everyone can make the playoffs.
No.
The only purpose of World Championship is to find out who the best in the world is. And realistically, there's not more than 15 people who can all potentially win the world championship. So from that line of thinking, I'm okay with it being 15 because the qualification is pretty standard. There is some deviation here and there, but there's a lot of opportunities and you can just do it. You could even do, I mean, you don't have that opportunity, but energy wise, you could do two in a day. It's the type of thing where you can get multiple cracks at it. Hyrox, the qualification sucks. You got to allow more people in. DECA, the qualification is pretty decent. So I'm okay narrowing down the window a bit.
Yeah. And I think that if you are going to narrow it down to 15, there's actually a pretty good benefit because last year you had two heats of 10. And I feel like there were just too many people on the course at once. You kind of got lost in the fact that there was a second wave of people in your division even going at that point. Mm-hmm. So having them all in the same start line, that gives a little bit more prominence for that. So I think that would be a plus having all 15 if they were to go with 15 go off at once. But if you're going to drop the number to 15, I think you have to allow the people who are the 16th elite or what the ones who just missed the cutoff, you have to let them backfill those age groups because they
agreed.
They're the best in their age group at that point. Like, I don't know, if you're taking away from their opportunity to qualify, you have to give them the opportunity to race in a different manner.
Yeah. And I feel like the 20, and I think a lot of the way Spartan and Deca make their decisions is for the general population, right? It's not for the elites necessarily. I think 15 is fine for the elites. Two heats could be helpful. It gives more people to get in. That's cool. That's something we've been talking about for High Rocks for some time now. But also, like, when we're talking about 20 in age groups, geez, this is just giving aggressive thumbs up. The roll down is lengthy.
Barely.
Groups, right. So I think you'll still get a lot of people who want to get there and race and who have this as a goal to race, make it into the 15. Where in past years, like, oh my God, I qualified. Maybe I'll go. Right. It wasn't necessarily like a goal that people set to get there. They just got that backfill. So I think 15 is actually fine.
I think that 15 is good for age groups, but I will say for the elite side of it, I think 20 might be the right number for the elite side, simply because you have a lot of local events where you've seen people put up these ridiculous times at their home gyms. And you're like, I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I just know that you're not that type of athlete. And then they show up and they run 2 minutes slower in a strong or a mile. And it's like, what if you're that one person who's one spot out, but you didn't get the opportunity to race in the elite heat because someone with a, you know, questionable time got in ahead of you. And I think that the top end of the sport, just like you mentioned with the High Rocks argument, it's like there's such little differentiation between the talent level between 16th and 20th at that point, but give people the opportunity to race from the elite side. That's how I feel about it for elite only. But I think age group, your argument was really good, Rich, where it's more, you don't want it to become a population like, oh, look what I got, I can sign up for it. You want it to be like, I earned that spot, there are fewer of them available, I better sign up for it, as opposed to, oh, it's still open 2 weeks later, now I can sign up for it.
I can see that. I don't think that a course can handle more than 15. I don't like heat one and heat two for a world championship. I really don't like that. I want everyone to be able to compete against each other. And the only flaw in DECA, in my opinion, with all their setup, is the enter and exit of the stations. You enter in the middle of the station for any machine. And it's just bad. Some people have to overrun it. Some people have to turn back around and then leave. And it's such a choke point getting in and out. It's just not clean. It should be more like merging on and off of the highway. And until they figure that out, they can't have any more people on the course. Even if they could handle it station-wise, it just becomes such a disadvantage to get there behind people, especially with the choosing where you're going to go kind of thing. I just really don't think it can handle more than 15. 15 is already pushing it when they're closely matched. 15 is great in open division, but at Worlds, when you have a clump of people coming in, you're losing seconds right off the bat by not racing stupid.
So basically what you're saying is you'd prefer it like High Rocks, where you just run to the end and then continue in that same direction. Maybe they should put like a little gate or something that everyone has to run by to funnel everybody at the end. So if you enter first, pick the first machine, you have to run by everyone else who's on a machine and cover the same exact distance, as opposed to, oh, I'm the first here, so I get a nice quick turnaround. That
something we're saying. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that you can lose ground by the position you come in at, or that you can run into people going in and out.
That is an issue. Yeah. Like if you get the sit-ups, for example, right? Like if you have to go past four or five rows down, like, I mean, it's not a ton of time, but it's say like whatever, 2 seconds.
Lunges right away.
Lunges, same thing. All the stations. There is less favorable positions on there.
And the choke point's bad too.
But it's standard measurement. So you have a strategy to get out there and you're like, I'm willing to shave a couple seconds here and risk it and it pays off, then your strategy was worth it.
Yeah, I still think you could have standard measurement with it. It would just take a new template.
Yeah, definitely. And Yancey's open to, he's very, very serious about making sure that the courses for DecaFit are consistent. So I'm sure if, he decides to do that, then maybe it'll happen down the road. I don't Although we did see a change for the sledge right at World Championship. I doubt he'll change the format for World Championship specifically, but he's okay with it.
It's going to be a Decalogue for the Decalogue, yeah. Ram log is for the burpees.
Those things are crazy. You see that Ram just released a 66 pounder?
I thought I saw that. I was like,
yeah. I was like, is that a 99? Oh, it's a 66. But
66, that's like pretty
30 kilos.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Pretty
heavy. Either way, I have full confidence in Yancey.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whatever he chooses, he's gonna make the best version of it, and it's gonna be accurate.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. Make sure you're locked in. Subscribe to Race Brain Podcast so we can give you sort of the news of what's happening for DECA for the rest of the week. We're not really sure.
We'll find out stuff along the way.
We'll find out some stuff, and if we don't find out, we'll talk about what might happen, and we'll do it for 45 minutes. No problem. No problem at all. Speaking of, what Jack, you had a. You were on
HFM
daily show or weekly show.
Weekly,
the live show that they've been doing, and you had a conversation about what Hyrux should do if someone needs to drop out of Worlds, correct? Why don't you just lay down the framework of this conversation for
us? Yeah. So basically, remember James Kelly? He had that situation a couple of years ago. I think it was Tim last year. Okay. I thought it was 2022 for some reason. But yeah, last year, Tim just can't race. They're like, hey, we've only got 14 people. Anybody want to run it? James Kelly, you're the fastest man in the building. Come on in. And then he ends up getting sixth or so. Eighth. Okay. My numbers are slightly off, but
I got you.
That's the gist of it. That's why you're here, Rich. But anyway, the scenario was brought up recently. What happens if someone can't race? How are they going to do this? Because they're given a set amount of qualifiers for Worlds. It's like you have to be top five at all these majors, and they have their roll down throughout, but it's never worse than fifth. And then they have these last chance qualifiers. There's one additional spot available in Anaheim versus Cologne. So say that we reach our 15, and then one of those 15 athletes at some point in the next month and a half pulls a hamstring, can't race anymore, or just something happens, they get sick. Who's going to fill that spot? Do they just leave it vacant? And we were just kind of debating on what the right move would be for that.
I think it's pretty simple.
What is it?
Time. Fastest time available.
Yeah. That was definitely not the stance we took.
Based off a DECA list.
Yes. Your DECA mile at wherever gym you want to do, wherever you want it to be. Nothing verified, not judged. That gets you in.
Have an airport adjustment factor. That's what we'll do for their times.
I don't know, BK, what do you think?
I think you treat it like the fight game. They have a backup fighter for most main events. Not big boxing events, but a lot of UFC has a backup fighter. They go through the training camp. They get paid as if they are going to fight. They get their show money oftentimes. They're flown over there. They make weight. They weigh in case something goes wrong. They are the backup fighter. I think you just have that. One man, one woman, fly them over. Listen, you're probably not going to race, but you're the next one up. Just have someone on standby. Next person.
Alternate for a relay.
Yeah. I don't think that's the best answer, but it's the simplest.
But how do you determine that person? That's the main issue.
Who would get the next spot normally?
This is unprecedented.
Yeah.
This has not happened. And it worked out
for Jake. You use the old system, right? Time.
Just time. Where's our guy, Yannick Czekla? He's in.
Or the closest person in the last chance qualifier. Whoever finished closest,
do you do the last
percentage of winner?
Do you do the last chance qualifier? Or are you doing Cologne or Anaheim? Because Anaheim already has one extra spot, but Cologne had
one. Winner. Whoever was the closest to the next qualifying spot, you could do.
Music to my ears, percent of winner.
Yep. Now, does it make sense to give priority to the last chance qualifier over the majors in this instance?
That was going to be my argument, because what if the person, someone who got sixth and never ended up making it,
say Colin got fifth.
They could have got fifth in one of the majors if one of those people who finished one through five drops out. So now that would have effectively bumped them into the top five to give them a spot anyway. It's like,
or is that how you do it, right? If you take it from the race where that person qualified.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what's the right move to do?
You know what? Leave it blank.
I'm kind of with you, BK. Like,
just really? Leave it blank.
So like, after you're, all these
choose
years,
someone out of the crowd just to show how good these people are.
Put in a grizzly bear.
So after all these years of saying how stupid it is, where it's like, oh, we're only gonna have 13 people in Chicago for the U.S. champs because they won't go past 30. Now you want to keep it blank?
Well, think about the Olympics. Think about world championships for track and field. What if someone gets sick the night before? What happens?
They leave the lane empty.
You leave the lane empty. If you haven't earned it in there, you don't get it. Now, I'm not saying I love that, but when I said earlier, it's the simplest, this is the simplest. These are the spots that have been given. And if you can't fill it, then your lane is blank.
And there's opportunity. There's been 4 majors, 2 last chance qualifiers for people to punch their spots if they haven't at this point. Like, we don't, and at the backup fighter, that example, it's like, they need 2 people to have this event go on. You still have 14 people. The event's still going to go on.
And the James Kelly example is a great one, but Hyrox has already shown, like, whoever gets in there has a chance of going top 10. That's great, but it doesn't change the race. Like, I'm so happy for James that he got that, because that's what really got him. Like, that was his next step up in the sport. That gave him the momentum, the confidence, the name recognition. But that race wouldn't have been any different if they left that blank. And so the people who have the potential to win the race are already there.
And why do they give 15 spots if there are only a few people who can realistically win it? Like, why?
Well, they've determined that 15 people have the chance to win. I don't necessarily believe that, but you can't have a one-on-one race in an endurance sport and have it even look good. But the difference between 14 and 15 has no optical difference.
Yeah, because I think right now the fastest on the women's side is Miriam Van Roer. She has the fastest non-qualifying time.
That's time.
I know, but
that time still count.
That's what Anthony was saying. That should be the leader at the moment.
That should be. She ran that. She
no. Not that, like, that should be, but that is the fastest fastest time from someone who is not currently in the Elite 15.
They would probably do that. I think that is probably the most simple way, because they have had all these different opportunities, and now if they pick one, it's going to be unfair to the other. So I think it will just be like, all right, it is
time.
And why not?
Which would be Yannick.
It's on brand, and it shows that they have a puncher's chance. Like, we know you can run fast.
It's, of course, it's 4 minutes fast.
Right, but is it any less dirty than any other option? You either leave it blank, which is probably the move, or you choose the next fastest. But when do you get them there?
I think you have
choose
to
who's in the building.
You have to let the athlete know if they're an alternate, like the week of, at least a week out. And I know people can get sick the night before, but that's insane to expect someone to be able to race like that. You need to declare who this alternate is way ahead of time, so that if they're going to be that backstage fighter getting ready in case their name is called, they need to at least have been able to prep for that for a month, knowing that they might be able to step up there.
Yeah, leave it blank.
Leave it blank. Or have it as a wild card spot for the best athlete you can come up with in that city. Like, let's just showcase someone from another sport. You think you're really good, like, come on out, try it at World Champs. You got a spot.
Please don't.
You're this, what Laz calls it, the human sacrifice at Barclay. Mm-hmm. One person gets allowed in every year that doesn't belong, just to, like, remind you. Let's have that. Let's have one sacrifice. You're the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, whoever, like, some, the first CrossFit or not the CrossFit Games, they get to participate.
Or triathlete, bring them in. Nah, just leave it blank.
We've seen the triathletes.
Leave it blank.
But Bracken race.
Put BK in there.
I don't want any part of that.
Put BK in there.
I know how good this sport is.
Hey, you can finish no worse than 15th.
That's true.
In a field of 15.
Make $300.
Yeah.
Well, in that case.
At least.
That was another thing that we talked about, the prize money, because they announced earlier in the year $150,000 for prize money at Worlds. And they announced that's what Matt was saying. And then they announced $20,000 for the team. So does that take away from the Worlds prize pot? Because they're giving $20,000 for the team race.
For the relay, they're giving $20,000?
Yeah, that apparently.
What?
I know. I don't know if that's for winning or if that's divided, you know, first, second, third, each gets a fraction of it.
No race has ever advertised a fraction of their prize money that they're going to give out. It's always the biggest number they can possibly come up with is what
they're Dash giving away $100,000.
They're probably still working on that money, though. I mean, they're probably still working out sponsorship deals to, I mean, they should probably have it done soon.
Soon to make sure it happens.
Yeah, they probably don't know exactly what they have.
But
they're giving away $20,000 for that freaking relay, and not everybody gets, and they're like handpicking who gets to race it.
All right, Rich. So we sort of know the teams, you know, who's going to be on most teams. You and Pelayo, or you and Dylan. It's probably going to be you and Pelayo because you already have all that success. Who are you picking for your women that you think you can take down any other team?
The teams that are not already taken.
Yeah.
Well, I think the USB team would be really good.
That's what I'm. Who's your USB team, and you probably would stand a really good chance against beating anybody.
Yeah, me, Dylan, or Rylan. I'd take Dylan and
put him on the ergs.
Put him on the ergs.
Yeah,
and then Lauren Griffith and Vivian Tafuda.
It's a nasty team.
It's a good team.
Yeah, Hunter, Kent, Meg, and Lauren.
That's also a really good team.
Can Hunter and Kent be on the same course together and do well?
They're gonna just be like picking at each other, trying to pick who gets to do what. Whoever
they're gonna crack each other.
It's gonna be like. Somehow. Whoever has to take Farmers, they're going to get insulted and like not do it. They're like, no, not me. I'm better than Farmers. Not doing it.
I'm not doing the stupid minute 15 station. Yet.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's going to be some sort of internal turmoil for that team. B team to take advantage.
Lauren's what do you do ego, for your legs? She's going to make so many demands.
Exactly. Don't want any part of that.
Only not green it. M&Ms in my dressing room. He's just so high maintenance.
That would be a tough team to beat, though. Because, I mean, you put, for that team.
How do you break it down?
You have to do Hunter on the ergs.
Yeah.
And then I think you got to do the women on.
Wall ball?
The sleds, lunges, and wall balls have to be the women.
Yep.
And then it is Kent on burpees and farmers.
Which he's good at.
I'd bust his ass so
burpees.
Bad at those.
It's a waste of Kent.
That's what I mean. He's going to be pissed.
He's going to run like
all
a
the top guys 000. Can burpee about the same, I assume, if you put him in just a straight shot.
Rich.
World Rich, record like holder.
Ever, right? Record holder.
Yeah. World record holder.
Second fastest.
Official, really recognized world record.
Yeah.
And farmers carry, like, what's the swing from a farmers carrying a burpee broad jump from one to the other? It's just a waste of Kent. He's so good at so many things.
That's why they made a mistake.
How do you assemble your team, Rich, your B team?
So it would depend on the race. Like, I think there would have to be unconventional tactics. Like, we could go the same route, right? And be like Dylan on the ergs, women on the sleds, lunges, and whatever. And I'll do burpees and farmers. But because that other team is so strong, I think it would make sense to have like a strong runner like me do the sleds
early
just to kind of front load it.
Yeah.
And try to make up ground or pass on the sleds. And then just
you
try
do
to beat
both
the race.
Back to back?
Not both. No. Like just at least one. Like
that's going
to
give you a gap.
Yeah, bold strategy, Cotton.
The push, so at least you can close the gap on the run. Mm-hmm. Just deal with the sled. And like, I don't know. I think at the top level of those, like it's going to take like a minute, 20 seconds or whatever. And then just potentially.
This is all pro
that.
Weights, right?
It's pro weights, I think they're doing.
Have you ever felt that? Run as hard as you can and then kick the sled? Just like
doesn't look that fun.
Empty it on a sled. It's a feeling that you could deal with.
I think so. I think so.
Because it's always what's coming next is your limiter.
Yeah.
That'd be a weird feeling to be done in sled. Like, empty.
5.5 minutes. You could probably do the sled in probably 2:30 going all out or so if it's men's pro weights.
I did 2:15 in
the push or the pull.
Oh.
It'd be like 1:30.
I was gonna say pull.
Oh, the pull.
1:30 is going to be the slow end for push.
Probably.
Yeah. So you come off, you run a 250 for your 1,000, maybe 255.
Just hammering.
Hammer.
And just like, and even if you go that hard, and even if you break it up half, but you put on that kind of distance on the run, like you'll be in it.
Because how far is Dylan going to be behind Hunter? I think Dylan can probably be within 4 or 5 seconds of him.
You think Hunter could hold one? Like 33s, 132s for 1,000.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet he could go 29.
Yes.
28.
So Dylan could probably do 30.
I think
he's going to target mid-30s for the World Championship Pro.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
I mean, he always does 36, 37 anyway during races.
He starts there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he ends at above 40.
Okay. I don't know. I think Dylan, he's going to be able to basically play tag with them during that. Yeah.
He's going to lose 10 seconds.
Dylan's a fantastic rower. I think Dylan might be a faster runner, so I don't think the gap's going to be that big.
We got to keep it tight, though.
Yeah. So this kind of reminds me of...
Dylan's not a faster runner than Hunter.
Yeah.
But they're probably pretty similar.
I don't think it's...
In 1,000? I think Dylan's...
It's definitely close.
It's close. I should say Dylan hit... I take that back. Dylan's running has taken the next level.
Yeah, he's running well right now.
We used to make fun of him, say he had one speed. That guy's got wheels now.
He might still have one speed, but that speed is much faster.
It's faster, yeah. Honestly, like, putting a Rylan out there, if you were on your team, like, just let him drop a 240 for the opening K.
He should run an erg.
Yeah.
He should run an erg, yeah. What the
fuck? Yep.
Again. Yeah, it likes your idea.
Knows.
Right there.
Disagree.
Yeah. Then it turns into kind of the mixed relay, which I know is your favorite event, Rich. Do you have women at the end due to the running component? They're going to be so much faster at wall balls, but I feel like they're going to cancel each other out because every top end woman is going to be unbroken.
Women's weight no matter what?
No, I think they're doing pro weight.
So they'll have
whatever,
both,
however,
each
I think
weight,
so.
You choose the appropriate one when you step
in. I don't know if they'll be able to
pull
it off.
Specific?
I think that's how they're going to do it, but... Okay. I feel like they would have a hard time pulling it off because you'd have to declare and then you'd have to have a lane, right?
And you better not screw up your order.
Right. But they're not going to know. You might be able to screw up your order and be like, oh, I decided to do the push instead of Lauren Griffith and push it in 59 seconds.
Yeah. What are the odds?
Or the wall balls too. But that would be another strategy, right? Is to put the faster runner at the end to try to catch the women or get in front of them to put a little bit of a cushion on. Cause it's going to be 15 seconds probably at least.
But we've already seen Lauren Weeks, like is as fast as all the men basically. What was she did in DECA?
Whatever. All right. What else we got? I saw that TRP putting up high level Instagram content. Chad Coleman just crushing.
Oh yeah,
Chad,
that was really
Chad
fun.
Got you and Kirk and I decently well.
His Kirk was really good.
I thought he got yours in there.
I was impressed with the one of you, Rich.
When I saw it, it was like kind of hearing your voice for the first time on like a answering machine. Like, no, that's not right.
No way.
And then I'm like, oh yeah, probably that is me.
Yours was a caricature of you. Kirk's was Kirk.
Was actually Kirk.
Yeah. I thought Hunter's was also, and he tried talking like Hunter a little bit also.
Rock.
Like Hunter's tough to run like.
Yeah.
But he got the mannerisms.
Yeah.
He's got to put on that super pain face.
Yeah. Bracken, I actually thought that yours was the worst of the four.
A little bouncy.
Chad? Yeah. No, I thought it was a fantastic overall. I'm just ranking.
Really and I'm fun. Ranked last.
Yeah.
Jack will never give me my flowers.
Absolutely. Like, you would never give me any flowers.
Like always.
Yeah. So VJ was going to do that a while ago, but he never ended up doing it. So lost out. But he had like Killian's form, Atkins, Kempson. He had everybody who he was going to imitate, and then he just never did it.
Those are good ones. Kempson's would be good. Just
yeah, exactly. Killian also. He's got a pretty notable one. But
major. Yeah, for sure. Was that UBK that said he's like arms are moving faster than his legs or something like that? It doesn't look like he's moving in unison.
It's two different. Yeah, his body. His lower half runs so well, but long, and his upper body just thrashes.
Yeah, around.
But he's got that triathlon look to his stride where it's just continuous motion. It's worked well for him.
Hey, great career.
All right, it's not over. He'll be at one of these DECAs.
It's not over.
He already was. He was in Knoxville and he ran like a 33 high.
Yeah. Streak's alive.
I'm showing up on that Mondo course this year. Can't wait.
Yeah. Bracken, when are you making your DECA debut? I know you're doing High Rocks, New York.
We ask him every week.
I know that, but now we're like really spending some time.
You think I'm doing the High Rocks, New York?
I thought you were.
Old news,
Jack.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, you injured yourself sleeping. I forgot. Yeah.
No, my son has a race that same day, and every he can't day. Race if I'm not there.
Have him race in New York.
Yeah, I can still go straight line. I just can't turn to the left.
What time's his race?
That's not how cardio works.
That's what I'm asking. Doesn't he want to go on a trip to New York with you after his race? If you got a morning one?
Race briefing at 9:15. Open practice starts at 10. You have practice session, qualifying, pre-final, final. Day before is car testing and tech inspection. It's not the kind of thing you can come into town and do.
What if Hyrox is later in the day?
I don't know if you're hearing me.
How long are the races, the kart races?
So his are 8 minute qualifying or 3 lap hot lap qualifying. Then he has last week at least it was then a 10 minute pre-final and 12 minute final.
Oh, nice. So it's something to watch. It's not like
I mean they're running 45 seconds per lap, so it's a lot of lap. You're getting 14, 15 laps in.
Got
time for mistakes to be made and things to happen.
Got the cooler Busch lights out there.
No, oh, come on. I'm not that fancy.
Busch Heavy.
Are they sponsoring the kids races?
I'm loyal, so it's Milwaukee's best or
Beast, baby.
Yeah.
Steady.
No, I can't drink on the job. I'm the pit crew. I'm everything.
Then the whole thing.
The gotta lift
their
the
wheels.
Cart up off the
just with your dang. Big strong hands. All that
would
OCR.
He destroy you in a race? Like you have the driving license, but you don't have the race.
Wouldn't even be close.
Okay.
That's those things don't know how to do. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I would spin out on every corner. So I would never get it up to full throttle.
Is he the kid you go to like a go-kart track and you see the leaderboard and someone's got like 7,000 more points than the next person? And it's like there's no way that someone can actually drive that fast or that well. He's that kid.
Yeah. He has the second fastest lifetime times at our local indoor one.
How does weight impact that being his
very
size?
Very much so. Indoor karting with the electric, it's you're lighter, so you accelerate better, but heavy allows you to drive it into corners and drift a little better, and drifting matters in karting.
Okay.
But outdoor, they have minimum weight requirements. So his class, you have to hit 260 pounds driver plus sled. So he only weighs 75 pounds, so we have to add ballast to it.
Gotcha.
And then where do you add the ballast for corner entry and exit? It's a whole thing, and I'm just making mistakes week by week.
Hey, that's how we learn. You got to get him on that bulking plan.
Tack on some mass.
Get them all yoked. All right. Let's
get him on a rammer.
What's that?
Get him on that rammer strength planning trend.
Mm-hmm. Easy.
Man, Rich, I heard that CrossFit sucks.
Excellent segue, Jack.
What are the odds? Yeah.
We're moving along. So this is on the peripheral of our world. We mention CrossFit. We don't really cover CrossFit per se, but I'm following it more closely this season. And I'm understanding that their qualification system is also pretty ridiculous. And in the past, I'm like, okay, they have the ability to perform their way into the games, right? It's like the open top X amount percent, then the next level quarterfinals, and you show performance to get to where you need to go. But it's seeming to be a little less objective than that. And this quarterfinals is a really good example of that. So they had the quarterfinals this past 2 weekends ago, and they took the full week to kind of solidify the leaderboard and just make it official. So top 25% from the open move on to quarters.
Including you.
I was in there, baby. I was top 5%. Son, are you serious? But then these workouts came out and I'm like, I can do like one of those potentially. So I'm gonna go ahead and skip that. But then the top 40 from each region will then move on to an in-person competition called semifinals. So the quarterfinals is still an online remote kind of competition. So there was this crazy, like a lot of penalties that were dished out during quarterfinals for a workout that included box step ups. And so they were saying like people were getting hit with like their hips weren't open, or another part of the standard where shoulders and head have to be in line with your hips. So with a box step up, you're looking at the box. right? So that people are getting banged with these penalties. And there's a certain threshold of bad reps that happen within these online things when they're reviewing the video, where you don't just lose the reps, you get a significant penalty, which is between like 15 and 40% of your score. So in the instance of what happened, this woman who was in a good spot over at the gym here across at Omnia, Kelly Stone, she was in 13th after the initial leaderboard kind of shook out. And she got a penalty that took her from 13th to 91st. So it just eliminated her chances to move on. And there were a couple of games athletes like Nick Matthew, I think he's from the Midwest somewhere, Sydney Wells, this woman who finished like 10th at the games last year, trains out of Mayhem, whose name I'm forgetting right now, got bumped all the way out. So their seasons are essentially over because of the big ass penalties. And one thing that happened in Kelly's instance for the example here, is she had 14 reps that they said that they docked as like questionable or no reps. So she went from like 195 to 165, putting her in like the 60s or 80s into 588th place for that one workout. And so I think the difference in the reps, because it was 195, so it took 20% off of that, so it knocked it down like 40 reps as opposed to the 14 that she actually
the actual number.
Yeah. So for an AMRAP competition, they didn't take off the reps. They just docked her with this
percent
significant penalty and dropped her all the way down. And they only review some of the videos, right? So in this case, Kelly now in 588th in this, they're not going to review 587th and 586th. They just review like the top 60. So all these people that are above her could also have questionable reps, which could move her back up, but they're not going to do that. They're just like, hey, this is the penalty you got. So there's nothing you could really do about it.
How do they choose that 15 to 40% range penalty applied?
The significant one? I'm not sure.
Why? Why not just remove the reps?
Yeah.
From what I understand, it's that, so not all the workouts are going to be like, some of them will be for like time, right? Mm-hmm. Or you have to get to a certain threshold or something to move on.
Which I understand, right? For those, but for a workout where you can accurately judge it's what simply they count cost. Based.
I just think that these are like, this is what we're doing.
The penalty should be missed reps plus the fatigue that you got by wasting your time not doing a rep that they count as legal.
Right. And maybe that's something that they're just like, hey, there's other things that we can't really factor in. But they don't differentiate between the workouts. They just have one significant penalty.
So you're saying Hyrox hasn't nailed by comparison?
It makes me feel less bad about how poorly Hyrox has managed their qualification systems.
So do they just have a huge queue of complaints, and is there a challenge option?
Isn't it locked at this point?
You can leaderboard was finalized yesterday. You can protest. But I think they just kind of throw those out. And I don't think they're hearing them. And another thing that was happening, I don't know what the final numbers are on this, but the West and the North American region split East-West. The West had like, and now I'm just spitting out numbers, but it was something crazy, like 90% more penalties. Like there was like of the submissions that they were checking. So really,
it's a dishonest section of the country.
The people that sleep a little 2 hours later, they don't know how to do box step-ups. So like that just shows, it's like, okay, there was a judge reviewing the videos for the West that was more strict than the East. And like, that's just how it is. Like it's crazy for these online competition pieces. It reminds me a little bit of DECA strong and mile stuff, right? That's kind of where I'm looking at here. But that would be a step, I guess, that DECA could take to get those. They could verify. But this is just a mess. Like these online verifying videos, and they make the judges take a judging test, right? Like you're a certified judge. It's very simple. But you still are certified as a judge through CrossFit, but then they review the video anyway and penalize people after the deadline's done, so they can't like redo it.
Shouldn't you just go off the judge's word at that point? Because they're in your system as a certified judge. They should be on the spot making the right call. Why? That's crazy.
I understand why they don't. Because if you had these crazy favoritism results in there, people would be like, who's double checking? You can't, like, what if it's just their friend? You know, there has to be a second tier.
Yeah, which it is their friends. You know, it's their coaches doing it for sure.
You're not going to a new gym just to do your workout because you have a little bit of a personal bias in favor of you with the judge. Yeah.
So do they spot check or is it everyone in the top 60 gets checked?
Unsure. I don't think they do. I don't think they They don't request videos from everybody. They will hit you with an email and then ask you for a video.
You should record it in the event that you're asked for it, basically.
Everyone will record it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean,
so if you don't have one, it's nullified.
Yes. Or okay. I actually don't know. I would think at this level, yes. But in the open, this happened where that woman who, Grace Walton in Oceania, got hit with a penalty. And that's what gave Miriam the win overall. But the person who ended up winning that workout didn't have a video. So they just didn't pay her, like the winning or whatever you would win. But she still got the result.
So they trusted the judge there.
I don't know.
So they pay out their prize money there?
If you win a workout, you win three grand.
That's novel.
And then like 10,000 for the
And they
overall.
Give them money?
For as far as I know.
Look at that.
As far as I know.
So
if you promise money for prizes, there are sports that hold you to that?
Quickly. Yeah.
I can't say for certain. I've never been paid. I've never won a workout in the open yet.
Doesn't seem like a good way of saving money as a company.
You could promise. You could under deliver.
Yeah. So if we had to rank the ridiculous qualifying, this is pretty high up there. First, the HYROX Elite 15 system through the years, Spartan North America, how difficult it is to even participate in Seattle this year, DECA for their local events. Like, what are you thinking? How do you rank them?
I don't know. This is up there. And it also, because it is like Tia Toomey got hit with a penalty, but it wasn't a significant penalty, right? Pat Vellner, same thing, got hit with a penalty, favoritism, but not a significant penalty. So, but Kelly Stone, who's like a team's game athlete who has a shot to make it, outside shot to make it, gets hit with a significant penalty and no one's really going to, like, it's not going to, the community's not going to go crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if Tia got hit with it, people would be like, this is the dumbest thing that's ever happened.
The qualification that we get mad about is because of the barriers to entry. Once you're in our sport, you can compete your way to whatever stage you want if you're able to perform. Whereas the digital online submission is always going to be an issue. Right? Mm-hmm. It will always be an issue. At least in OCR, is it hard to get to maybe the first pro race because you don't have your card or whatever? Yeah, but once you're in, you can win your way straight through and no one will question it unless you touch a truss or a skirt, a mud puddle or whatever. But like if you're on course, you're set. If you get to HYROX, if you can get to a major, if you can get to a last chance qualifier, the hard part's getting there.
Yeah.
But if you can start the workout, it's all up to you at that point. No one will stop you and say after the fact, we didn't like something. Like if you cross the finish line and you're good, you're good. And that is the part that we don't give enough credit to.
Yeah. This is almost like, oh, since it's stage-based, HYROX, you have four majors. You have a bunch of other opportunities to compete at last chance qualifier. Spartan, if you can't make Jacksonville, go ahead, do Big Bear. Go ahead, do Utah. This is basically like, oh, you didn't show up to Jacksonville? You're not allowed to race Utah or Big Bear for the opportunity.
That's kind of what it's like this year for Spartan. But you're making...
I know what you're saying, but I'm saying it. The buck stops there, like right away. You don't have that opportunity to participate in the other major races for a chance to qualify for Worlds.
Right. So there should be like, many athlete seasons are over. And plus this, they let 25% in. So now there's like these people that shouldn't belong in this that are in front of this other athlete because they just like expanded the field. And now they're just like in the way. But yeah, their season's just like over. At least in HYROX, like it's silly that it's like time-based. At least you could show up and try again. Like it's not taken out of your hands by HYROX. They don't, and like an example would be if HYROX, which they should probably do before races, but if they invalidated races, like if they went back to Berlin and was like, this course wasn't right.
It was legit.
But yeah, we're going to go ahead and none of these times count, which in terms of like the sport for fairness, I wouldn't hate. But
if it kept you out of getting into the last chance qualifier,
if it ended your season, or if they at a last chance qualifier, like did went back and gave penalties.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as we are mad about the Seattle setup, if all three of us really wanted to run there, we could go do Big Bear.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
I can't do Big Bear. I don't think you could because of that Michigan. W.
Show. Or you could go do a different race quick.
One of your greatest accomplishments. No, I'm good.
You could, though.
You could do Fayetteville this weekend. Yeah. Mm.
Or save it till Utah. There's a route to Seattle for you that you might choose not to take. There's no one saying you're not allowed to.
Right.
Because we have invalidated it. Yeah. Now, it is my greatest accomplishment. They invalidated my greatest athletic accomplishment. Then that would suck, but I could go do another one.
Right. Right, where this is just
fly out to a stadium and just do it.
So your friend Kelly has no events on the calendar basically now until this exact point in time next year because of this.
Exactly.
That sucks.
Yeah.
It's teams? She still do teams?
No, because you had to go.
No, that's same simultaneous, right?
Oh, yeah.
Teams were the week before.
Yeah.
So it's just over. It's just over. And that may be something that they could put in. So like, the solution is a bigger in-person competition, right? Like if they don't take 40 to move to semis, they take 100 and they just make cuts, aggressive cuts, right?
Which would make them more money.
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's true because the online, because it costs a lot to do an in-person and they charge $25 for all 25% of the people on this online room.
I think, Bracken, you're saying for quarterfinals or semifinals, right?
Yeah, if you already have to rent the venue, then the cost doesn't scale up equally. You just have to have more equipment.
It's just gonna be
more rounds,
longer time.
You might have to rent it an extra day,
an extra day or something. Yeah.
But more concessions, more tickets, more gate.
There would probably be more tickets, right? More spectators because there's 50 more people got in. But then, like, you don't have this bit, and like, if you expand like the open, maybe make it like 5 workouts again to get the right people into the semis, and just make it more in person because these online ones, it's just not it.
It's the downside of doing virtual anything is that there has to be record keeping and validation,
right?
And you run into it. The Hunter ran into it with his OCR stars. We ran into it with the even like
with the beer
burpee
mile?
10K.
What?
Not the beer mile, but the burpee 10K.
You didn't validate Jack's score?
You didn't need to.
We were validating, but we ran into trouble where people did until their GPS said they'd run a 10K on the track.
They're disqualified from every race ever again, if that's the case.
Like Hunter had it. People ran a net 80-foot drop on that 6-mile run. You know,
which was within the bounds of the rules, and then he just disqualified people because.
Right. Yeah. But anyway, we ran into it in these little podunk events that we hosted. That's the issue. And they're a victim of their own success where they're worldwide and they're huge and you can't possibly watch every submission video.
No.
With the big discrepancy in the percent of errors, you said that West Coast US got way more markups basically than the East Coast for all the no reps and stuff. It's kind of like submitting a paper and you just have like the bad TA or the bad teacher who just like tears you a new one versus the one where it's like, okay, it's good enough. And then you're okay.
Which is insane, mm-hmm. right? That they would have like that.
What they should have done is, all right, we have 500 videos. We have 10 judges. You're going to get 5 from this region, 5 from that region, 5. Just disperse it so that there's no favoritism right there. It's just all like, it sucks if you get that hard-ass judge, but you at least have a little bit of variability instead of the whole region's just screwed because of the judge you got.
And I feel like there should be some, like they do have a ranking system that they're smoothing out. And like we talked about this for Hyrox as well, but there's that should come way in a little bit, right? Like if someone like Pat Vellner does get a significant penalty or whatever and drops him out of qualifying from quarters to semis, like the dude obviously is fit enough to belong in that next level. Right. And then if it's just this like subjective judging, I feel like there should be something in there to kind of help. Like, oh no, this person like kind of belongs instead of just like their name recognition. Cause it's just like, it's just bad. It's just bad for the sport.
There should almost be, if you had the personnel and time, someone in charge of second views of penalties. Because you're going to have way less penalty videos than all videos. And so whenever someone determines this is a penalty video, that person watches it and says yes or no. It's like a second set of eyes on it, which should be necessary to avoid one person with a vendetta or a bad eye.
But it should also be like random too, right? Like not be like, hey, this is a penalty video. So you're like looking close for penalties. I don't know.
But at least then the same person is judging them all and seeing them all and be like, this isn't bad.
True. True. What if Deka, and I don't know how much of an issue this really is, but like if there was qualifiers, like a semifinals for Strong and Mile, like if they did, if Sacramento was a West Coast qualifier, top 40 times or whatever go, then they have the opportunity to race their way into Worlds.
So early into the season, though, you think that those times will hold up?
Well, it wouldn't matter.
It just gets you in the door.
Oh, it's places. Okay. Yeah, I see.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm always in favor of racing your way in. Always. And I keep coming back to this, but it struck me the unfairness. Like high school track, no one really cared. That's what, you know, the time list, who cares? You got to race your way in. But then you get to college and now someone pops a race in January and they have a spot at Nationals. You know, that you get there and half these people running these times, it doesn't count. They're not good. They just run a time or it was a weird time. They ran out on an oversized track. Or like I talked about one time, University of Madison set up cones while I was at the meet and they ran it out in like lane 3 or 4 on an indoor track and just counted it. No one batted an eye because he was like the big coach of the area.
Mick Byrne, dude, he's serious? Get out of his way.
So anyway, you start to realize how time qualification is so nonsensical unless the sport happens in a vacuum. Performance quality, it should just be in-person competition to qualify through tells you who's the dog, who can compete. And that's who you want in the championship.
Yeah, we saw the HYROX virtual championship of fitness with their little competition and didn't always yield the right people to make the finals.
That would be the example, right?
What was that half marathon record holder for years? Zirzane Tedeschi or whatever. He'd run significantly faster multiple times than anyone else in the history of the world in the half marathon and had zero world championship medals. He just couldn't do it if it wasn't like in a vacuum by himself in a time trial on the perfect course or whatever. But in a race, he just wasn't that guy.
Yeah, they thought he was going to be the breaking two guy. They put him on that team with Kipchoge and didn't last.
Yeah. And so I'm all about competition getting you in. So like to your point, Rich, get more people to the semis.
Yeah. Yeah. It's stupid the way they're doing it now. But I think probably it's more of a money maker than a money saver.
For all we talk bad about HYROX, they're getting better.
Yeah.
Like this last chance qualifier is a very big equalizer.
And they're going to have a contingency. They're going to have a contingency plan next year now that this new issue has happened. There's going to be another thing that we're not accounting for. We're not even debating like, oh, what do you think the issue is next year? Like you don't know until it happens realistically, but I think they're going to be even more and more prepared heading into the future after stuff like this keeps happening.
Yeah. On a year-to-year basis, they're improving faster than any of our fringe sports we've ever watched.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said, like if it is about finding the fittest, whoever's going to win, like they're going to get the five people or so that they need to, even if they just do time. So like from that perspective, like it's always going to be right. But if they do want the sport to grow and continue to get more eyeballs and participation of high level athletes, then they need to continue to clean it up, which seems like they're going to. We'll see. We'll see about the whatever. Last year they announced it at Worlds, what the qualifications would be for the following year.
And they already have that 24-25 leaderboard. So it's like, you know, they're thinking of it already.
They're already going on times. Like, hey, these times rule. These are legit.
I'm hearing rumors.
What you got?
Oh, yeah?
Big behind-the-scenes contracts being signed.
What?
Big sponsors coming on. Athletes starting to get paid. People buying into HYROX, investing. If half of these rumors are true, HYROX is going to be significantly bigger in worldwide next year than they are this year. And as a result, they're going to have the ability to put more into all of these sides that we care about because they're recognizing the power of the sport, not just the Open, the sport itself. And so I don't want to be a trusting person about endurance competitions, but I'm starting to gain a bit of trust that Hyrox is doing it the right way.
I was thinking about the other day how they have, they're like pretty locked in, like the events, they continue to make them better and better, but it seems like the system that they have is working, and now they can maybe shift focus into something like professionalizing the sport, you know, instead of trying to do everything in tandem. Now that they can really kind of spend time there, but I don't know, dude. Maybe there's going to be a lot of disgruntled CrossFitters coming over, I think. I mean, like, this sport sucks.
I hope so.
They come over and get that work.
I think the quickest way to get eyes on a sport is to bring a star or a well-known athlete from another sport into it. It gets proven time and time again, crossover works.
Like LeBron?
Every time Jake Paul fights, he sets bigger numbers than regular boxers fight because he gets the YouTube crowd over. Is it good for boxing? Yes, no, who cares? The purist will always say no. Every man will just say, I watched, and that's what you want.
Yeah.
Right? Because then they might stick around and then be good for boxing. Doesn't matter what he's doing. If you get eyes, the sport grows. And the more we can bring people over, that's why I'm big in favor of having some sort of wild card system where there's a pipeline for someone who's pre-existingly good somewhere else, put them onto a big stage. Let them do it. Who cares?
But you can't prevent the athletes who are doing.
No, it's an additional spot.
Additional.
And it's an additional.
But then, like, if you,
what does it hurt?
You invite 30 people and that person gets the 31st wild card. What about the 31st actual person? They're like, what?
Someone's
on them right there.
Yeah. It's like they're screwing somebody.
And Rich doesn't like it because he's too close to the issue.
It's just like when you, it's like influencer marketing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except these are proven people. That year in Spartan race brought over Olympians and national champs from other sports in 2013 World Championships. It drummed up a ton of publicity, and NBC Sports put on a big show about it, and it was the start of Spartan televised products. It was huge, and they all sucked. But they brought eyes on, and they made it so that they could sell it to NBC Sports. So we have Olympians, we have world champs, let's sell. That kind of thing works. It always angers the people who were there at the beginning.
Right.
But eyes are eyes.
BK, were you surprised that Anthony Joshua just starched Ngannou like that?
No.
You knew that was coming?
You just can't dabble into boxing. You just can't.
He gave the gypsy a run.
That was different. I'm not entirely convinced Tyson Fury was even trying or sober for the first few rounds. It was an insane overperformance by Ngannou, but he showed some really basic flaws in that fight, and Joshua exploited them from the very first move he made in the ring.
He's like, I'm punching this dude, the lights out.
Yeah, it was bound to happen. And against people that big, you can't make mistakes. That guy can knock out a building.
I think Mike Tyson's going to do in his upcoming fight.
When is that? You going to be locked in, BK?
I'm going to watch, even if I don't like myself for watching. It doesn't go well. Late stage career comebacks do not go well.
Yeah. You think he's going to lose?
His only route to winning is an early knockout. It's his only route.
Aren't there funny rules too?
Are they drug tested?
I think they're wearing headgear.
They are.
That was the original stipulation they released.
I thought I heard that they weren't going to.
No, he could knock you out in headgear.
Oh, for sure. But I thought that they weren't going to score the fight. It's just knockout or not. Knockout or bust. Pass fail. Knockout or not.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. All right. Neither could pass a drug test, so they're both happy not to have testing.
Yeah.
At least Jake Paul, he like got some skills in there.
He's serious. He's taking it seriously.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. All right. I think that's it really. We're gonna see everybody cheer on Jack Bauer out there in Sacktown doing work.
Saturday.
What time do you start? 8?
7:30 California time, so adjust your time zone accordingly.
No.
Well, OCR report, check it out. Anything else we got?
Last chance qualifier, 2 weeks. Anaheim in a couple weeks.
Yeah,
waiting for the majors.
Things are coming. Things will happen, and we will talk about it. What's up on TRP?
I rarely announce a guest, but I'm excited about this one. The world record holder in the beer mile is coming on.
Me?
No.
Men's another guy, 420 men's. Corey Bellamer.
Corey Bellamer.
Yeah.
What are you going to talk about?
Everything.
Can you
tune in? Smash that button.
Subscribe. That two of your co-hosts in a different podcast have competed and one of them beat the other co-host?
Yeah, for sure.
Not validated.
I've got it all on video.
We need to check your alcohol content.
Does Corey wear gloves?
It's on Instagram.
Everyone wears gloves.
I just didn't have gloves or bottles.
Yeah, you didn't have...
I was at a major disadvantage.
Research.
He won his most recent world title in one shoe.
Oh.
Off on the first run.
And these are like sub 430 that these dudes are running? Or right around 430?
He's sub 430. That? He's like a 356 miler or something like that.
That's so crazy.
Disgusting.
Like they're
doing
fucking
8 to 12 seconds every beer.
They're fighting
sub 60. Yeah.
Just I need bottles. Yeah. Next time I do one. I don't know. I wonder if I'll ever do a beer mile ever again.
I'll face you head to head.
I'll bust that ass, dude.
You won't drink beer.
It doesn't matter. If you can't beat a guy who doesn't even drink beer, that's pretty lame.
Remember how bad...
Are you going to do it with beer?
I did.
Oh, I thought you did, LaCroix.
No, I got drunk in like 40 minutes after the... I was so gone. Like, that's so much beer in such a short amount of time while running.
I did it power walking because I had just had knee surgery. Mm. And I was hammered during.
Yeah.
It was, so you're going too slow.
I had blood platinum. I don't even... It was like 5 or 6%. And that was some serious... alcohol content pretty quickly.
We think Jack talking about when he's all turned just talks about like how to get the best deals on flights. Just won't shut up about
it. It was on 4th of July and I was on
you
the
You guys
back
aren't
deck.
Using spreadsheet macros. You just I don't even know.
Your credit card points, man. What are you doing with your credit card points? Let me tell you all about them.
I actually Ryan McGuire reached out to me yesterday and he's like, hey, I need to get to France for High Rocks Worlds. I've got this many points. How am I going to make it? Like, word gets out that I know what I'm doing with that stuff. So I help.
Did you help him?
Out. He only has points with Delta, so he can't transfer them, and there just aren't any deals. I was like, maybe try flying out of Atlanta or JFK or something else. What it's just not happening at that time because the Paris Olympics are right after that. So a lot of the flights over to Europe are already taken for the deals.
They're expensive, dude. I just booked my flight, and it's not
like $1,200-$1,300 from Denver.
I'm one way it ended up being about that much. I haven't even booked my flight back, but I could have gotten cheaper. Wow. But I want to just do a direct. And,
yeah. Are you getting there like Tuesday, Monday before, like
the week before we're going to be flying into Frankfurt.
Okay.
Gonna hang
good old Frankfurt
for a while.
Again.
Yep. Love Frankfurt. And I have a direct. It was expensive as shit.
Direct.
Taking the train there after or taking a flight?
Flight.
Okay.
But Ryanair, that cheap ass one, doesn't fly out of Frankfurt. Oh. So Lufthansa, gonna eat that weird like cheese, whatever they give us.
That's good.
yeah.
Weird stuff.
Yeah. Amy going with you?
She's going a couple days later, and we're gonna meet up in Nice.
You give her six layovers. She's making up the.
That was what Jack and Jack did.
With Audrey.
Audrey had like a 20-hour layover.
So Audrey basically, she was in between jobs then and had like a month off. And she found out, like, we already had our flights. And within like a week, she's like, all right, I'll go with you to Dubai. So there are no flights available. And I had like 40,000 points. And there was one flight that was 40,000 points. And I'm like, that's how you're going to get back. And it went from Dubai to Frankfurt, then Frankfurt to Munich, then Munich to London, London to Denver. It was terrible. But what happened
was like a summer abroad.
Yeah. Yeah. But what happened was the London flight, the crew got stuck in the US because of bad weather. So she had to spend an extra day unexpected in London, but her return flight the next day was so early that she couldn't really get out and explore either. It turned into like a 60-hour nightmare, and I felt so bad for it.
But you're home, didn't use all your points.
It costs like $11 because of all the taxes and nothing else in points. So you got back. But at the same time, I felt really bad about it.
Not really bad.
Yeah.
All right. So that'll do it for us. Thanks for sticking with us. Make sure you smash that subscribe. Share if you have a friend who
you have a friend.
You just have a friend.
If you have a friend who might want to listen to weird stuff about niche sports, send them the Race Brain podcast.
You have a friend.
You have a friend.
Congrats. Let me know your secrets.
Yeah. That'll do it. We'll talk to you later.